And very happy Woo Wednesday to you at 12:09, Talk Radio 790 KABC, The John Phillips Show. Broadcasting live from my living room in Palm Springs, California. And it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wang's at the sports desk in Culver City.
John, over the summer, Governor Gavin Newsom asked Californians to voluntarily restrict their water by 15%. And in response, Los Angeles increased their water usage.
Well, remember when we spent a bunch of money trying to keep pedestrians from getting run over too?
You mean Vision Zero, where we tried to slow down the speed of cars and people ended up going onto lesser side streets to avoid the traffic jams that Mike Bonin built and more pedestrians got killed?
That's right. See, the two stories tie together, though. We're using more water because we have to hose off the grills of people's cars, the bodies and the blood and the guts and the parts.
That's what it is. Also, it's Woo Wednesday.
It's Woo Wednesday! Yeah, baby! Woo, 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 woo!
800-222-KABC is the phone number, 1-800-222-5222. Randy, I think I told you a couple of weeks ago I went and saw my doctor for a physical, and I lied through my teeth after every question he asked.
Except he had the blood work, so he could tell that you were full of it.
Yeah, well, that's why I got called back in. Had some splaining to do. And one of the things that he told me when he brought me back into that office after the blood work came back and he determined that I'm a pathological liar is that he told me to lay off the red meat and the booze. He said, John, if you don't cut back on the Patty Melts and scotch, it's going to eventually kill you.
Well, why doesn't he just tell you not to live?
Well, little did I know, he had nothing to do with His remarks had nothing to do with heart disease. When he said the patty melts and the scotch would kill me, he meant I'd get shot while eating it.
What?
Let me tell you about my night last night. So we get off the show at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And because we work weird hours where I can't eat lunch at noon or 1 o'clock like everyone else, I typically wake up pretty early in the morning. I have my breakfast and my coffee very early, 6, 7 o'clock. I eat lunch at 10 o'clock. And by the time the show's over at 3, I'm absolutely starving to death. So like everyone else in Palm Springs, I eat dinner 3, 4 o'clock, somewhere in that neighborhood.
You really go for that early bird special.
It's not even really an early bird special. Technically, I think it's still lunch. But that's when I eat my dinner. It works for me. When I did the 3 to 6 shift, I ate dinner later. When I did the 5 to 9 shift, well, actually, I ate dinner the same time as I do now. Anyway, the point is this. We get off the air yesterday, and I decide that I'm going to go to my favorite neighborhood watering hole and have my favorite dinner of all time, a patty melt and a scotch on the rocks. So I get in my car and I head down to my favorite neighborhood tavern. And as I'm pulling up to my favorite neighborhood tavern, I see the owner out on the street. So instead of pulling into the parking lot, I stop the car on the street and I say, "What are you doing out here? It's hot. Shouldn't you be in your car?" And she said, "There is a gunman on the loose in the restaurant, and everyone ran away as soon as they saw the gun." I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah." So she hopped in my car and we hightailed it out of there and we went to a safe location. That's when all the police officers started showing up, where you had the SWAT team, you had the tanks, you had the helicopter over us. They were putting together a robot that they were going to send into the restaurant next to where we were standing. And we went over to, I guess, what became a de facto police command center, where her employees ran to after the incident. And I heard exactly what happened. Apparently, somebody went in there, and based on the description that I heard, it sounds like they were homeless. They ordered their food. They ordered a Jack on the Rocks. They were enjoying it, and they were fidgety and acting weird. So the bartender continued to serve the individual because they didn't do anything outside of acting weird that would warrant being tossed from the restaurant. So the bartender hears something clink up against the bar, but he made nothing of it, but made a mental note of it. Didn't see anything. He exits the bar to go bust some of the tables because a couple had been eating and then left. And as he was bringing their cups and their dishes and their utensils back to behind the bar, he sees the individual holding a Beretta. And he turns to the guy and he goes, "Is that a piece?" And that's when the Beretta was lifted up. And that's when everyone started screaming and running out. We have more on this from KESQ.
More on your top stories in just a moment. First, breaking news tonight in Palm Springs, where an apparent police standoff is underway. News Channel 3's Jake Ingrassia is live on scene with the latest on this. Jake, what's happening?
John, police right now are saying that a suspected gunman is inside the Pete's Hideaway restaurant here on South Palm Canyon Drive, just below downtown. And the business right now is entirely surrounded by police. You can see this heavy police presence right now. Police have been trying to make contact with the man they believe is armed with a gun now for at least the last hour or so, making announcements on their loudspeaker, asking for him to call 911 or to use the business's phone so that they can make contact with him.
Do you think the gunman, when everyone cleared out of the restaurant, went behind the bar and refilled his Jack and Coke?
If he was smart, he did.
They're telling him that the building is surrounded and asking him to come out with his hands up. Now, there are two Bearcats on scene as more police arrive in force. A helicopter has been circling overhead. Dozens of officers here, some of them very heavily armed, using that tactical equipment, those shields and those assault rifles. And
Palm Springs don't mess around.
No, and they were there lickety-split, too. So props to the Palm Springs Police Department.
And right now, South Palm Canyon Drive is closed in both directions, from Sunny Dunes to East Camino Paracela. You will certainly want to avoid this area if you're trying to make it around downtown right now. Now, we have seen the police gearing up perhaps to potentially be making some kind of an entrance after more than an hour of a non-responsive suspect inside Pete's Hideaway. We will continue to stay on top of this breaking news here in South Palm Springs. But again, right now, a barricaded suspect believed to be armed inside Pete's Hideaway here south of downtown. John?
Okay, so while all of that was going on, we were off to the side, and the bartender was giving a physical description of the restaurant to the SWAT team, because the SWAT team was getting ready to move in. And as they were doing that, right next to where I was standing, they were putting the robot together to send the robot in there to figure out if the suspect was still there. And I thought the robot would come in one piece. It comes in like several boxes where they actually have to put it together like a puzzle. So as the climax is ready to happen, and as these heavily armed police officers and SWAT teams are ready to move in, apparently somehow they figured out the suspect was gone. So as everyone was freaking out and everyone left the restaurant, apparently the suspect left the restaurant too. So thankfully, nobody got shot, nobody got injured, and there wasn't a shootout between a suspect and the cops.
Wait, I'm kind of imagining what happened here, because you said this guy might have been homeless, was a little out of it, a little shifty. Is it possible that when the bartender realized he had a gun and everyone freaked out, the homeless person himself said, "Somebody's got a gun! I gotta get out of here!"
I guess anything's possible. Feet don't fail me now. So how was your evening, Randy?
It was quiet in my neighborhood, but the San Fernando Valley did have quite a few incidents last night, including a Tarzana phone repair shop that got burglarized in the most movie way possible. Some jackasses took a U-Haul and rammed it into the front of the shop.
Oh, God. For more on that, here's Fox 11.
Top story this morning, some burglars use a moving truck to smash their way into a business in Tarzana.
Gigi Gracier is there live now with the reaction from that store owner. And it's heartbreaking, Gigi. Good morning.
It is. These are small family-owned businesses, Tony and Roxanne. They have struggled during the pandemic to stay in business. And then this happens. Take a look. This is the A to Z wireless cell phone repair shop. They also sell a lot of merchandise in addition to repairing phones. And this morning, around 3 o'clock in the morning, two men driving, of all things, a U-Haul truck, about a 20-footer. They arrived here, according to witnesses, and backed right into the store and then went to work.
This is going to lead to U-Haul asking you when you try to rent a truck, what are you using this for?
You know, that would happen to me if I was actually trying to park safely in a parking space.
But like you've seen in a heist movie a dozen times, these guys take a truck and back it into the shop so they can go in and steal cell phone repair parts.
That seems like a totally rational thing to do.
Dirty work, stealing anything and everything. The owner just left, well, heartbroken that this has now happened to his business.
There's phones, there's iPads, there's accessories, there's parts, there's MacBooks, there's every kind of electronic you can think of. Now you got to change the glass, you got to change the gate, you got to fix the showcase, you got to get ready for business, you have to get your inventory up again.
And back here live, take a look. You can even see the threads of the tire truck, of the truck that was used. And police say using a U-Haul isn't that unusual. They're seeing it more and more. Most of the trucks are actually stolen and then quickly dumped. If you have any information...
Wait, how often does this happen? The LAPD gets called. Someone just stole a U-Haul and crashed into my store. Yeah, that happens all the time.
They might actually have an entire department for those calls. Press 9 if someone just drove their car into a store to rob it.
Information, please call the LAPD's West Valley. And if there is any message that the owner wanted me to get out, and he didn't want his face shown on camera, by the way, which is understandable. He is concerned about security. The message was, please support your local businesses. Reporting live this morning in Tarzan, I'm Gigi Gracia, Tony Araxia.
Now, it's not just people pulling Berettas at restaurants and people ramming moving trucks into businesses to rob them. Armed robberies are up all over the state of California and specifically Los Angeles.
And for that, we've got KKL9 with an LAPD update on just how many people are getting robbed with guns.
Dining outdoors and walking on the streets have become dangerous in some South LA neighborhoods that were once considered very safe. The LAPD says armed robberies are up, way up from Hollywood to West LA to the beach. KKL9's Sarah Donchi has our story tonight.
The videos tell a frightening story like this recent one. Diners robbed at gunpoint while they ate at a sidewalk restaurant on Melrose in broad daylight. Down the street, Dominic DeLuca owns Brooklyn Projects, a popular skateboard shop, and saw this shootout play out live on his security cameras.
People live here 30, 40 years. They've never seen it like this.
The LAPD revealed Tuesday armed robberies are part of an alarming trend stretching from Hollywood to Mid-Wilshire to West LA to the beach.
In West Bureau, we have nearly a 23% increase in the number of robberies in that command.
What do you think has happened in the last year that has led to such a dramatic increase in armed robberies? What has happened specifically in Los Angeles, I wonder?
Maybe it's people being upset that the Angels are losing.
No, that happens every year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I know, George Gascon was elected DA.
That might be it.
Shootouts to brazen daytime robberies to murder.
It's getting to the point where there is an exodus of people moving from the area. That's how bad it is.
So bad, says DeLuca, that his business has taken a major hit, as much as 40% compared to 2019. He says even local customers prefer he ship to them rather than walking the streets and becoming a target.
Still keep everybody employed, but my business is down.
Many times, two and three deep of suspects are swarming an individual, stealing items such as loose jewelry, high-end watches and so forth in a street robbery.
People are scared that one of us is going to be the next victim. I think that seems to be the common chatter.
And it isn't just the Melrose area. Community organizers in other neighborhoods say they worry about violent crime often.
This is really the epicenter and the hotbed for crime and lawlessness. So, you know, and no one is really safe.
LAPD says they're stepping up patrols and educating business owners, but DeLuca insists there needs to be harsher penalties for offenders before anything changes.
This is like a candy store because you could do what you want and not get in trouble.
For people who live near Melrose, they say they plan to discuss these concerns tomorrow at a virtual town hall meeting with LAPD. I'm Sarah Donchi, KCAL 9 News.
So there you have it. Armed robberies are up all over Los Angeles. Had I gone to get my patty melt and scotch on the rocks just a tad bit earlier, I almost certainly would have had a gun pulled on me. Here's what I want to do right now at 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. The statistics are clear. People are being robbed at gunpoint right and left. I want to know when you've had a gun pulled on you. It doesn't have to be in the last week. It doesn't have to be in the last month. It doesn't even have to be in the last year. I want your stories on when you've had a gun pulled on you. Because let me tell you, when I was talking to that bartender last night who had the gun pulled on him, that guy is cool as a cucumber, but it got his attention real fast. I want to know, when has a gun been pulled on you? 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222 is the telephone number. Armed robberies are going through the roof all over Southern California. I almost walked right into one yesterday. I want to know when you've had a gun pulled on you at 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. Let's begin with Larry. Larry, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hey, John. Love your work. Yeah, it never leaves you. It's back in the late 80s, selling Japanese import in Long Beach. Go on the test drive, and I still remember the type of gun, a chrome-plated 25 caliber pistol. And he says, well, we have to go over to my house, and I want to show it to my wife. And I'm like, fine. So we pull up in front of the house, and he says, why don't you get out and knock on the door and get my wife to come out and look at it? That's when I smelled a rat. And I said, no, I'll stay with the vehicle. You go get your wife. And then he pulls it out, and he says, this is where you get out. Obviously, I got out of the car, and I was in Long Beach. I called the Long Beach police, and we drove around trying to find it. He says, well, it's in a chop shop in Compton by now. But I tell you, the main thing that really, and I guess I could use this word, pisses you off. You want revenge. You want the guy caught. But it does leave a mark on you mentally, the post-traumatic stress. It was really, really affected me for many, many weeks afterwards.
Did it affect your sleep patterns? Did it give you anxiety? How did it impact you?
Both, you know, but mostly rage. You know, you really felt violated. Like, damn, you know, he shoves that in my face, and it just really got to me. I wanted the guy caught so bad, but, you know, they never caught him. They never found the vehicle. But I can sympathize with people that have been robbed at gunpoint. It's really, it does a number on you.
Was the guy calm? Was he nervous? What was his demeanor? Because last night the bartender told me the guy was super fidgety, almost like he was tweaking out or something.
This guy was amazingly calm. He was of African-American descent. He was very well-dressed. He almost, from my, you know, reading of him, he felt very educated. He was very calm. Matter of fact, he came with a very expensive, high-end racing bike into the dealership, and he actually put it in the back of the pickup truck. Back then, it was a little bit not as security, but he was very, very calm, almost like, you know, they knew what they were doing, and it was a ring, you know, that was going around stealing the vehicles and the test drive. So this guy was a smooth operator, definitely.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're safe and sound. Thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Nick. Nick, you're on KABC. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Phillips?
Good.
Good. So, yeah, about close to 10 years ago, I was coming out of the store. I carry a lot of cash on me, and a guy pulled a gun. He was twitchy. So I took it from him and hit him in the face, and he ran away. I think I broke his wrist.
And you kept the gun with yourself?
No. I gave it to the police.
Okay. Wow. So yeah. You had no hesitation at all to pop the guy, despite the fact that he had a weapon.
He didn't realize he was dealing with a Marine Corps military police officer.
Boy, he picked the wrong guy to rob.
He did. I mean, it scares the bejesus out of you. You know, anytime you get something put in your face like that, it scares you. But, you know, you got to react and protect yourself. And I wasn't going to have it. Nope.
Did you have any long-term effects like the last caller, trouble sleeping, anxiety, that sort of thing?
No. I mean, I've been in combat most of my entire adult life, so it was just another day.
You've seen this movie before.
Right. I've seen the movie. I've seen the end. It could have gone either way, but, you know, it does affect you. It does. You know, you think about it daily for a few weeks. You do. You're like, oh, my God, I could have been shot in the face. Like, you know, but I just did what I had to do.
Well, thank you for the call, and I'm glad you are safe and sound as well. Let's go to Mark. Mark, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hi. How are you today?
Good.
So I've actually had this happen to me 3 times in my life.
Three times? What are you, a rapper?
No, I'm just had more than my share. I'm just a mellow surfer that likes to enjoy life, and I've been held up 3 times at gunpoint, and it's very frightening.
Give me the circumstances for the 3 times.
Yeah, it's been spread out over a lot of years, but the first time I was just loading up some gear in my car, and I was getting ready to go out on my sailboat, and got 3 guys pulled up to the car and pulled very large pistols on me, and, you know, I was wearing sweatpants. I didn't have a wallet. I said, take what you want out of the car. I was pretty compliant. And then they hit me over the head with the butt of the pistol and took off. The second time, it was similar. I was loading some samples for my business in my garage and that I have in Santa Monica. And 2 guys pulled up with guns and held me up, took my wallet and, you know, whatever they could take. And the other time, it was similar. You know, I was just in my car and had some people pull up to me and hold me up at gunpoint.
And did it affect you each time you got robbed at gunpoint?
You know, it's very frightening and it's traumatizing, but, you know, you got to move on and, you know, not let it affect you. So I wouldn't say short term it did, but, you know, when I heard your radio program, I'm like, I'm really frightened, you know, for my family and friends and you know, these things are, you know, you feel defenseless, you know, so I guess long-term it's affected me and it doesn't seem to be going away. It's a chronic problem and it's getting worse and worse in our city.
And I would imagine for most people, it's fight or flight when you have a gun that's pulled on you. I would be compliant. I would give them whatever they ask for because fighting over a phone, fighting over a wallet just isn't worth it. But I would imagine that the adrenaline is going for the person with the gun too. And the last thing you want to do is frighten them and have them pull the trigger when they don't intend on pulling the trigger. But if you spook them, they could.
I totally agree. In fact, one of the encounters, you know, these guys were pros. They've done it before. And my first encounter with this is I got, the adrenaline was pumping and I got loud. And I didn't mean to, but I got loud. And they didn't want to be seen or anything conspicuous. And they said, calm down and be quiet. And I got it, and I did, you know. So, yeah, I think if you can escalate it out of control pretty easily if you get that way.
Well, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it, sir. I want to know when someone has pulled a gun on you. It almost happened to me last night. I showed up to my local neighborhood bar and grill moments after an individual pulled out a Beretta on the bartender. The SWAT team was out, the robots were out, the helicopters were out, the police and tactical gear were out. We had the whole production. I want to know when a gun has been pulled on you at 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. But right now I'm taking your calls at 800-222-KABC, 1-800-222-5222. Armed robberies are up all over Southern California. My local tavern had an individual show up and pull a Beretta on the bartender moments before I pulled up ready for my patty melt and scotch on the rocks. I want to know when you've had a gun pulled on you. And Randy, I can't believe all this is going down on Woo Wednesday.
Well, actually, it makes perfect sense because the Woo and Woo Wednesday is actually a police siren.
Woo!
Now it makes perfect sense. Let's go to Fontaine. Fontaine, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hey, John, how you doing? I love your show, man. I've been a fan of yours for a long time. I'm going to tell you a little story. And Randy did a great job when you went on vacation. I'll tell you that now. I love that guy. But I'm from Philadelphia. I live in Las Vegas now. So I had just settled a lawsuit back in Philadelphia about 11 years ago. I know how you feel. And I had like $10,000 in my pocket, cash money. So I go into a Chinese restaurant. I had these glasses on, gazelles. I go into the Chinese restaurant, I order my food. And then I turn around, I see this barrel coming on me. It was a 38, like from Custer's day. I see this barrel coming across my shoulder. So I tried to fight this guy, grabbed the gun. I was so scared I couldn't even go to the bathroom. So I asked him. He said, give it up. I said, what you want, man? He said, I want them damn glasses. I'm a blind man. I'm blind in one eye, I can't see out the other. Luckily, I had settled the case and had bought two pairs that day, had them on order. So when the guy took the glasses, I said, oh, my goodness. I walked right out to the car, went in the glove compartment, got the other set of gazelles, put them on, and I said, dag, that guy was a real fool. He didn't know I had $10,000 in my pocket. And I really did. Hey, that's all I want to tell you, John. But you keep it up, man. When I hear you on the radio, I know everything's going to be all right. I mean that.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad you're safe, and I'm glad that guy was a fool and didn't take your money.
He could have took the money. Taking my glasses was the worst thing, man. You should have seen me filling my way out to my car. But I knew I had some more in there.
Yeah, I think your fortune cookie that day said you're going to keep the $10,000.
Well, I ain't going to lie to you. I don't go in them places anymore. And it was the kind like you always talk about where you got the glass and you got to stick your hand around this circle, that circle, tell them when you was born and all. I don't go in them places anymore.
All right. Well, stay safe out there, Sarah, and thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Danny. Danny, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hey, John, thanks for taking my call. I used to have a cleaning business. We used to clean the sidewalks and shopping centers. We did a lot of 7-Elevens. So I have my truck and my guys, and all of a sudden this guy comes out of nowhere, puts the gun to my head, and he had his hand behind his back like he was getting ready to shoot me. And I said, hey, man, I've got young kids at home. Please don't do this. Take all the equipment, strip us down, do whatever you got to do. Don't shoot me. My biggest fear, John, was that this was gang-related and that these guys have to knock somebody off to get into a gang. I used to work from midnight to 6 a.m. It happened multiple times. And it's kind of how you talk to these people is how you're going to talk your way out of it. You say, I got young kids at home, man, a wife. Please don't do this. They stripped us down, took all our money, watches, whatever. It wasn't worth anything. And that was it. It was done. But it happens at some 7-Elevens, too. But, you know, it's sad what's happening today. I said earlier, I was getting my hair cut. I told this lady, I said, there's no accountability for anything, anybody. And there's one other thing I want to say, and I haven't heard one person say, why aren't we sending social workers to Afghanistan to negotiate with these guys? Why aren't we doing that? And why don't the women go down there and say, you know what, guys, chop, 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 put the weapons down. How about that?
Have you ever seen the movie Booty Call?
Oh, are you kidding me?
It's a great movie. It's hysterical. And there's a scene where Bernie Mac is getting held up at gunpoint at a 7-Eleven in the middle of the night. And he gave a similar but different speech that you gave. He said, don't kill me, man. Don't kill me, man. I got a girlfriend. I got a wife on the side. I got a lot to live for.
You know what? It's so sad today. I mean, now my life is totally different. My kids are older. They're gone. I live in Hermosa Beach, great town, no violence. But these guys that know how to fight, they don't want to fight you. It's the guy that's chopping and moving his lips, And they'll warn you two or three times, and then they'll just choke you out. So you're stupid to run your mouth. Just real simply, I got young kids, man. Please don't do anything. That's your best bet. That's
absolutely
my advice.
Good advice. Thank you so much for the call, sir. Let's go to Robert. Robert, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
So I had a gun pulled on me. I was at a stoplight, and the light turned green, and the car in front of me didn't go. So I tooted my horn and went to go around her, and she flipped me off. And then next thing you know, we're at the next light, and I rolled down my window. I say, hang up and drive. And she reached in and pulled a gun on me. I almost went in my pants right then and there, and light turned green. She took off, and she's in a Prius with paper plates, and I'm in an old 91 Camry, and I couldn't catch her. She outran me.
Well, that's what I call a distracted driver.
She was totally a distracted driver, and bottom line is, if you want to talk on your phone, you just drive right on by me. Right ahead.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Christian. Christian, you're on KABC. Hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, man. Yeah, this story happened. It happened a while back, probably like over 15 years ago. But there was a little ring going around in the valley where they were coming to restaurants just before closing, you know. And they were robbing the place, and it was a Pizza Hut right there in North Hollywood. And I was sitting there, me and my girlfriend, and literally just before closing, somebody walked up to the table with a long gun and said, you know, this is a hold up. This is a stick up. I need everybody in the bathroom. They led us to the bathroom for about 45 minutes. They literally acted like they were going to kill us. And then they had the whole operation all planned out. They had guys put on the Pizza Hut uniform and act like they were sweeping while they were trying to break open the safe. It was a whole deal. And after about 45 minutes, they let us know that, you know what, we don't want to hurt you. We just want to do what we got to do. So subsequently, now if I go into a convenience store and I don't see anybody behind the counter, I'm not in the store. If I go into a 7-Eleven and they're taking a pee, I'm not in the store. I don't go to restaurants before. I'm telling you, it stained my brain. This was like 15, 17 years ago, man.
They call that situational awareness.
Most definitely.
Well, thank you for the call, sir, and I'm glad you're okay. Let's go to Brian. Brian, you're on KABC. Welcome.
Hi, John. How are you today?
Good.
Yeah, in the late 70s, there was a lot of robberies in the city I lived in. I'll not say the city. I don't live there anymore. So I stayed home from work to install my own alarm system in my house. So I got up that day, didn't take a shower, put on, you know, jeans, black sweatshirt, and a, you know, black knit hat on my head because my hair was a mess. So I'm installing my alarm, and I broke a drill. So I got in my car to go over to a neighbor's house a couple blocks away to borrow a drill bit, and my car broke down. So I walked back to my house after I got the drill bit. Neighbor saw me walk, you know, into my house, didn't recognize me, calls the cops because there'd been a ton of break-ins, and the police in that city were very much trying to catch this guy. So I'm in my own house with an electric drill in my garage in 20, I think it was about 22 to 25 police officers surround my house. Two of them actually come in the back door of my house. I'm unaware of it. My dog is barking and going crazy. So I walk by a regular door you'd walk into the garage that had a window. So I look out on it, and a police officer puts a gun right up to the window and says, freeze, put your hands behind your head and back out the door. I'm having trouble hearing them because my dog is going ballistic. So I'm screaming, I can't hear you. So anyway, they get me outside onto my, in front of my garage door and, you know, do the frisking and all of that. Then, and I keep telling them, I live here. They keep telling me to shut my damn mouth and a few other explicits because they're very excited because they've caught the burglar, they thought. And then they get me out in front of my yard And of course, all my neighbors are now watching this little movie, and I'm yelling to my neighbors, tell them who I am. And all my neighbors are yelling at them, he lives here, he lives here. And what was freaking me is I've got, you know, I'm surrounded by police officers. They're all still pointing their guns at me, pistols and shotguns. And I'll tell you, you looked on the barrel of a shotgun, that is a very large opening, I'll tell you, when it's right by your ribs. And so they say, you know, slowly take one hand. I had my hands behind my head. They said, slowly take one hand down and get your wallet. And, you know, all my neighbors are saying, hey, he lives here. And I said, you know, just put the guns down. You got me. I'll comply. But they wouldn't put the guns down. And that's what was freaking me, because I said, you know, all you got to do is have one of you guys think I made the wrong move and you're standing at the wrong angle and I'm a dead man. And so it literally terrified me. In the end, you know, I was able to identify myself. You know, one of the police officers said, we're sorry. That was the extent of it. The rest of them walked away shaking their head, pissed off that they hadn't caught the burglar. And I was as white as, literally as white as a sheet. My wife came home, and we went out to dinner, and I just sat there in the booth shaking. And I remember I got a, you know, glass of water, and it kind of shook coming to my mouth. And I was spooked for a little, you know, for a couple days. And it was interesting for the, I lived in that town another 5 years, and then I had, then I moved to another house here in Orange County. But whenever I drove through that city and saw a police car from that city, the hair on my arms would just stand up on end. I was, it would tense me out.
I'm happy that you're safe. I'm happy that you're still with us, and I'm happy they didn't turn you into a piece of Swiss cheese. We've got two more hours coming up on the John Phillips Show, including the Fix California Hour up next. This is Talk Radio 790 KABC.